Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, a podcast about the archers and the goings-on of Ambridge. Well, it's a very different episode. Yes, it's just P, Philippa on her own today, but what tidings I have to bring you. It's been a very exciting day for me. I'm recording this at the Hay Festival, which is an annual literary festival in Hay-on-Wye on the border of Wales and Hereford. And we've been joined today by 5 members of the cast of The Archers. They've performed the episode live, complete with sound effects. The editor, Jeremy, also talked. And I was able to sit down with those cast members for a bit of a chat, 5-10 minutes each, with who did we have? We had Stella, Brian, Adam, Susan and Jim. And it was just great fun to talk to them. There is background noise. I think you can hear that. And I apologise for what can be at times quite loud background noises, but that's just the fun of the festival, and just bear with me on that. It did get quite windy at one point, so again, forgive the sounds of background wind, but that's just the British weather for you. But I'm just thrilled to have this special episode with the cast. So first, let's join Lucy Speed, who plays the part of Stella. Have you performed The Archers live before?
I've done live theatre.
It must be an interesting thing to
do. I'm quite excited to see what's going to happen. I think people love it when you go wrong, actually. I think if we're too slick, people will be disappointed.
The rough and ready bits.
Yeah, they like
Archers
to see the bits when it goes wrong. They love it. Even on stage in live theatre, people want to see you muck up or somebody crack up laugh.
I should introduce you. So you're Lucy Speed, who plays Stella.
Yeah.
Do you know how many of us love Stella? How many girl crushes there are?
No, I don't.
Because we struggle as listeners with a lot of the women in Ambridge, but Stella,
I love her. I love her because she isn't defined by her sexuality. She's defined by her brilliance at work and about what she's interested in. And to be a female in something where you're not introduced by either how you look or who you're dating or who you fancy or who fancies you has been just a joy. And it's 2 years now and she is still defined by just being Stella. And actually, for the first year, she didn't even have a surname. So it was sort of empowering. And I just loved her for that. And I love her that it stands with all the big, big boss men and gives, you know, isn't cowed by them at all. And she's just so much fun to play like that.
But there has been a lot of deep dive analysis on Stella and what we think might happen.
Right.
The sort of the top two views are Well, first of all, she was going to have a relationship with Ruth.
Right, yes, yes.
And now it's Pip. That is...
Oh, right, yeah. What I love about her and Pip's relationship is that they started off Pip being sort of not really liking her, and then Stella's just quietly wins people round. And I think it's because of her managerial skills. I just think that she sees everybody as a sort of a work person that needs managing. But actually, she's now become very, very, very... happy in Ambridge and really loves all the people and really has begun to soften and open up a little bit. I think we might find out a little bit more about her, you know, family and her life and what she does and she doesn't like.
Recording this discussion before the Friday episode of The Archers, where I believe there's going to be a chat with Brian and Stella, so I don't want you to give anything away
about it.
I love the scenes with Stella and Brian generally.
We love those scenes. I mean, I, as a middle-aged woman, or slightly over middle-aged woman, with young children, and my parents live with me, find myself mediating quite often between making sure that the older generation feel respected and in control, but yet having to do quite a lot of the secret control and support, and then being more blatant in that role with my children. And I think middle age is so very much part of being in the middle of things and managing those things and other people's egos and expectations, and that you see that getting older is difficult in its own way, and you're also getting older and become slightly invisible. You're a bit opaque because you bridge that gap. But I think that is also a skill in itself that Stella's embraced in understanding how she might feel in certain situations, and I think that's where her and Brian meet. She completely respects him and where he's come from, but understands that she's there to really support and do the things that he can't do without making him feel surplus to a part. Or doesn't want to do. And I think that's where her skills lie, is that kind of people management and understanding and enjoying her job. Those conversations are always lovely to do because it is about people looking at each other as humans rather than whatever our age differences are, whoever knows more about what or whichever, you know.
I always thought it was interesting, as you know, you joined and we were all really excited, and then you got accommodation in Ambridge, we're like, yes. And then you got the dog, we're like, yes, she's, you know,
staying.
She did, yes. It must have been quite rewarding to see those life events.
Yeah, so totally.
It seems to me, from outside, to sort of TV soap fandom, there you're more portrayed, either you're sort of a goodie or a baddie.
Yeah.
Whereas in The Archers, there's a lot more nuance to it, and people are always trying to work out where the character's going.
Well, I think what you don't get in The Archers that you do sometimes get with TV, because what happens with TV soaps or shows that are on a lot, you know, might have a series that's kind of, you know, 14 episodes and then have a little break and it comes back, so serial dramas, is that what they tend to do is there's a lot of exposition before and after the break, because they're on at times when people are feeding their children or they're doing whatever, and you have to keep repeating yourself. Whereas what I love about The Archers is we don't treat the audience as if they've gone away and done anything else, of course, which they all are, and you have to play a bit of catch up, but that happens to the actors as well. We totally trust that the audience are there and are feeling and are engaging with what they need to engage with. And if you are not in the script, you don't know what's happened to your character or to the other characters. And you arrive and you play a bit of catch-up, and we play it totally for what the truth of what's on that page. And I think that's what comes across in the show. And that's why the audience love it so much, because we're all just discovering it at the same time, almost. Like real life. And it does feel more like a social documentary than a serial drama. And I think that's what people love, is catch up. Sometimes you miss out, you catch up on something. And sometimes you'll have a conversation with your friends and you'll kind of go, oh, I've missed something here because I haven't seen you for a couple. And it's a bit embarrassing to go, hang on a minute, so-and-so had a baby, but you kind of go, oh, I need to just quietly gather some information here.
Nice to see
and
you
then
again.
Just slot in. And I think that's what we all do as listeners. I feel very loved by the Archers audience.
Okay, well, we've got a table over here.
I don't think any of my family have been more impressed.
Was that the highlight of your career, considering all that you've done?
Yes, absolutely. There was huge excitement in it, and I think if my grandparents had still been alive, they would have been even more. So, I have you know, fulfilled my job as the only actor in the family to bring credit and dignity to the family
name.
You've
done it now, you've hit it. I suppose my last question is, what's been the scariest moment of doing the Archers? Because you are such an accomplished actor. Was any of it?
I think going in and initially, because they didn't really have a lot of idea of what they wanted from Stella, just that she was going to... And that's what's nice, is people create their own roles almost. And the writers and the producers sort of work with you along with it. And I think this was one of my first things, was going in and doing the BL contract or something. And then there was... And with all those, like, Charles and Sam Williams. Yeah, and I had loads of farm speak to doll out. And I think I was a bit nervous then, obviously. That was probably the most terrifying, just initially, just kind of walking into
finding
that iconic space and all those people that knew each other. I was saying last night, as we were sitting in our little cottage that we were sharing with Charles and Andrew, you know, there needs to be a kind of a sort of information pack when you join. Who and where everything is, and you forget what it's like to be a newbie sometimes.
Yeah, it's your first day at school.
Yeah, but everybody's really caring, and, you know, they're great sort of hosts as well as actors.
That's wonderful. It's just so nice to talk to you, Lucy, honestly.
Oh,
I really appreciate it, and really look forward to seeing the Archers performed in front of
me. I know, how funny is that? We've got to just try and weave in... It's a good job I'm here, because we can weave in some bloopers that people probably want to see. Everybody else is far too brilliant. So I think that's why I'm here, to make sure there's some...
Head of bloopers.
There's some mistakes thrown in there.
No, that's great, thank you.
Oh, I really like Lucy. She was just brilliant to talk to. Anyway, onwards and upwards. Now we go to Charles Collingwood, who, of course, plays Brian.
Charles Collingwood, the amazing, the superb, the one and only Brian. I mean, my goodness.
Well, there we are.
Very exciting to be talking to you. Have you ever performed The Archers live in front of an audience?
Lots.
Oh, have you?
Yes, but not for a very long time.
Oh, right.
When you say live... We've done a lot of agricultural shows and personal appearances, at all, mostly, you know, the Royal Show. I did Wilf Wells in weather like this. It was absolutely magnificent. And I'll tell you how long ago it was. We were staying, rather like BBC, a very sweetly put us up in some cracking cottages last night. And when we were at Wilf Wells, we were out in the sticks. And we marvelled at the fact that we saw red kites, because they were almost extinct. And now you can't move for them on the road to Oxford, on the A34. So, you know, they've become... it's a long time ago. So I've done hundreds of these things. But I have been in the show a very long time.
Well, you have been in the show for a year or two, I think we could safely say. But I'm interested, do you prefer playing Brian when he is agreeable? Or do you prefer it when he is slightly disagreeable?
Oh, of course, disagreeable. I mean, every actor will enjoy the drama rather than, you know, terribly nice. Recently, of course, I've had the very sad storyline of Jennifer dying. And it's, you know, and I've had to show quite a lot of emotion and cry and get upset. And people have been very, very complimentary and sweet about my performance. And I always say, well, that's very nice of you. But the hardest scenes ever were walking across a field of oilseed rape with Philip Archer, seeing if it's ripe or not. I mean, there's no drama in that. And also, if you're not careful, you can think, that's quite a boring scene to have to do, really. But you do them. But Brian, I've been so lucky. I've had the most wonderful story, you know, and affairs with almost anything in the palace. In fact, you're in danger now because I'm neither of my wives on the programme anymore now.
But we are very concerned about Brian. Now, I know you can't give anything away, so I'm not asking you to, but there, when you moved to the cottage, you were warned about a sticky back door and how it wasn't entirely secure. So, as listeners, we are very concerned for Brian's future.
Well, I've had the door fixed, of course.
So we shouldn't be worried.
No, you shouldn't worry at all about Brian. Until such time as I'm probably worried about, and then you need to be worried about Brian.
But tell me, who brings in the best cakes and biscuits in when you're recording? Who's the best provider?
Well, I think one of our producers called Rose. Rosemary Watts. Every now and again she brings them in. Absolutely delicious.
Can we mention the special number of your birthday? Or is
yes,
that strictly
I'm 80.
Many
I'm
happy
just,
returns.
Thank you very much. I am about, was it May, June, July, August, September, October. I'm 5.5 months older than Brian.
Very closely aligned.
Very closely. And I hope both of us remain very well and fit for many years to come.
If you could go back to when you first started playing Brian, is there anything you would sort of whisper gently in your ear to sort of to prepare yourself for what lies ahead?
I mean, I got the part. First of all, I played a character called Dave Escott in 1974 for 6 months, who was a dodgy paint salesman. He was a crook. And he had a mild flirtation with Peggy, so that shows you how long ago it was. She's about to be 104, the actual bit. So I had this flirtation, I decorated the bull, but I was a crook, and I left without paying, without, you know, crossing. Anyway, I was gone. So I was having lunch with a producer who said to me, well, I'm sorry you're going, Charles. And I said, I'm sorry too. He said, we'll get you back in permanently soon, I thought. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Good. I was, of course, then with Judy Shuler. She'd already been in it 3 years. And 3 weeks later, she said, you've got to ring Tony Shryan tomorrow. You're playing a new character called Brian Aldridge, and you're going to marry Jennifer. And I went up to Pebble Mill to play my first scene as Brian with my script. And I went to have lunch first. And I got in the lift on the ground floor, and in walked the actor Jack Holloway. And I said, Jack, how nice to see you. How are you? And he said, dreadful. I said, why? He said, I've just been written out of the ruddy programme. No. And he got out at the second floor to go and have a drink. I got to the top floor, got, well done, Charles, you got the part. So good. I said, hang on a minute. I've just met Jack Holloway. And he says he's been written out of the programme. And they said, yes, you bought his farm. So you can imagine how thrilled he was to see me, can't you? So it is all swings and roundabouts, you know, and all these things.
Can we talk about sport?
I mean, I often say Brian is the only man in the village who's never played cricket for Ambridge. And I am the only playing member of the MCC in the cast. So it's a bit odd, isn't it? Because this is my MCC hat at Lords. I should be at Lords today watching England play Ireland. So
and you're
this
here.
This is a major sacrifice.
It is a huge commitment, and we're very grateful for it. What is the most interesting bit for you? What's the most fun?
Well, let me go back. I don't want to sort of say about Jennifer dying, because that was...
No.
Because what I will say, seriously, about storylines, is the two storylines that I have really got to my heart and my bones, where I have done my very best to do it as well as I can, was when Siobhan was dying of cancer. You do in scenes like that, mindful that there are a lot of people listening who are probably going through something similar. So it's my responsibility to get it right. And with the sudden death of Jennifer, same thing. There will be people who've just lost loved ones or are about to, and therefore I must get it right. But on the lighter side of it, when Brian had, well, his first affair was with Caroline, which was a huge surprise to all of us, and a great, I mean, it saved Brian, absolutely saved me. And then the Siobhan story, which changed my life, really, because it went on so long, and it became bigger than television for a short time. You know, I remember people ringing me up saying, I've just seen David Frost reviewing the Sunday papers, and all they're doing is going to page 14, because there's another bit about you and Siobhan and you as Charles and all that. And over the years, you know, and then I was on the This Is Your Life with the Red Book, and that got me onto panel games in just a minute. And so one just went up a slight celebrity rung. I don't feel a celebrity, and I'm not, but it just, from my point of view... And also great timing, because as the years have gone on, I haven't wanted to do theatre or indeed television drama anymore. I can't think of anything worse.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But you're so happy to keep doing that.
Perfect at my age, you know. And we live near the Chichester Festival Theatre. So we go there and see them all the time, which is brilliant. No, I mean, so much so. But for my birthday, my agent sent me 3 bottles of champagne, which I think it's only because they know I don't want to work, so I'm not a nuisance.
Well, it's just wonderful to talk to you. I really appreciate you spending the time.
Thank you. Thank you, darling. All right, Philippa. Thank you so much.
He was delightful as well. And now we go on to Andrew Wincott, who plays Adam. Well, it is my huge pleasure. We've got Andrew Wincott, who plays the one and only Adam.
Hello.
It's lovely to
Hello.
Meet you, Andrew, because I've never met you before.
Well,
so welcome to Dumpty Dum.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How do you feel because you're performing it live today?
Well, it's a bit different because we don't normally get to do this in front of an audience. We're just alone in studio with each other, but to have an audience responding, we'll be tempted to play to the house.
That's going to be
or maybe play up the comedy. I'm not quite sure.
Let's talk about Adam. You know, how do you feel his character's progressing? So he's gone through a lot.
He has been through a lot. Lots of ups and downs. He's a complex character. And great fun to play. I mean, it's always fun to play those inconsistencies because I feel he's very principled. He's very principled about his farming. Non-intensive and the herbal lays that he went, all those things he went through, and now at Bridge Farm, which seems to be a natural home for him. You know, there's all of that, but then he's strayed personally. He's got a happy. He's been sorely tempted in the past and did stray about several years back now. But I'm not sure if Ian ever. They never find out about that. He has now.
We won't tell him. Don't worry.
Yes, he's always fun playing those shifts. You know, because we're all complex people and we all react differently to each other in different situations. I mean, the way I speak to Brian, for example, the way I am with Brian. Yeah, it's so fun playing moments of tension, too. It's great when you have the charisma between people, the fun, the tenderness. But then it's also fun when it all goes wrong, because that's where the drama
yes.
comes in. So I love the scenes with Brian, but they're getting on okay. Now we lost Jenny, Mum.
So that must have been so hard to act because as an actor you've got to step up, but it's the friendships and the cast are a family as well.
It's like having a second family.
Yeah.
It really is. Coming up, it's not like coming to work, it's like seeing your second family. And my mother grew up on a farm called Home Farm in Oxfordshire.
No.
And she also went to the same school as Godfrey Baseley, who created The Archers. Not at the same time, but she did go to the same school. So in a curious way, that feels like home to me. That village where the earliest sort of idyllic village that I can remember was that village of Sibford Ferris in Oxfordshire and Home Farm. But it's, of course, it's everyone's ideal village. But yeah, it's a curious... it is like coming home. So that's home for me, but so is seeing everybody in the cast.
I haven't heard you eating a lot of pizzas, though. I thought there might be more pizza involvement. I'm deeply concerned about the pitted olives and the ramifications of that.
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
Have you had any pizzas to actually eat in the studio?
What we tend to do is we have Ness, who does our FX. What she does, if there's something that we need to eat, and there's nothing like, you can't reproduce the sound of toast being crunched into, or pizza. So what she does, you walk into the studio and there's this wonderful smell of toast in the air, or toasted pita. That's what she uses to create that crisp bite into a thin-based pizza.
Very good. Yeah. So you don't actually get to enjoy any of it.
Well,
just save the line.
If we have to eat it,
I will do the
crunching.
Okay.
Yeah, but only take a very small amount.
So what's the most complicated scenes to do? Are they the more straight ones, or are they the actual action ones which take more working out?
They're all very, very different. A lot of the physical scenes, the action scenes, if you like, where you're busy, you're having to shift things around. It's fun because you're still trying to maintain a dialogue, and then invariably we'll stop at some point during the scene, and then there's a shift. We'll come closer into the microphone, and it will become, as we get to the point of the conversation, the heart of the conversation. So there's always a dynamic, unless it's physical all the way through. But I think invariably there is a shift. And then the intimate scenes. I mean, sometimes I've done scenes where we're in the hot tub at Honeysuckle Cottage. We're imagining lying there and there's water lapping around us on a hot summer's day.
And swimming in the river as well.
We did do some swimming. And then there was the flood. And we turned the studio looked as though as it had never looked before. There were pails of water and paddling pools and sou'westers and huge sort of knee-high boots. And I remember having to jump, as it were, from a tractor into boggy land. So I jumped into this paddling pool wearing boots to create the splooshing effect. And then calling from a long distance where Charlie was drowning in the culvert, I think it was. And you could hear him going under the water. Then they technically created the image that of Charlie hearing Adam calling, Charlie! But the microphone, the camera, as it were, went under the water. And you could hear Adam calling from above the water. That was a very different... The whole week was dedicated to that. It was like a movie.
Yes, we love Charlie. We would very much like Charlie to come back and stir up trouble for Adam.
Yeah, stirring trouble. Because he was a complex character. Yes. Blue, hot and cold. Yeah.
But had the interaction with Adam as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you have an extensive acting career, and yet The Archers is one of them that you've been doing the longest. Is it closest to your heart?
It occupies a unique place, in the same way that it does, I think, in the cultural fabric of the nation. I mean, we're a farming nation. This program's 70 years old. It's amazing that it's still running. And the unique thing is it plays in real time. But for me, we grow up, we grow old through this program. And you don't get to do that. Someone once said to me, The Archers is like a multi-layered Victorian novel, multi-strands of narrative. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. The only difference is it doesn't have an ending.
Yes, well, we hope
not. And long may it continue.
It's just wonderful to talk to you, Andrew. It really is. And hear all about Adam. I just really look forward to hearing more of Adam in the future.
Well, yeah, I hope.
Hope for some exciting moments.
It's always good when things get complicated.
Yes.
That's what we look for.
I look forward to hearing some more complications about Adam. But Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you. Great pleasure.
It was lovely to meet Andrew. That was wonderful. And now we go to Charlotte Martin, who of course plays Susan. Well, it's just such a pleasure to have Charlotte Martin, who plays the one and only Susan. Charlotte, what What a character.
Oh, she absolutely is. I mean, I was thinking on the drive over here, actually, all the kind of incarnations of Susan,
yes,
really, over the years. You know, going from kind of this little kind of plain kind of girl who got a job in the Bull and then met Neil, and then it all grew from there, and then that obviously that big drama about, yeah, going to prison. Really incredible, you know. I
headline grabbing.
Well, I often think about that and think, gosh, how that captured the imagination of you know, the United Kingdom, really, because it was mentioned in the House of Commons by Margaret Howard and all that. So that was all wonderful. But then I think since then, she's kind of managed to kind of reinvent herself a bit. I think she hides that.
Brilliant.
And doesn't talk
Thank
about
you.
It very often, her experience in prison. But she's managed to kind of find different roles to define who she is in many interesting ways, I think.
And I was thinking, I think Susan actually is the one that has the most relationships and the most sort of titles out of anyone, because she's sister, aunt, mother,
yeah,
grandmother,
yeah,
friend, employee, wife, mother. You know? So I think she does have the,
yeah,
most
she
connections.
Does.
And so she really is. I didn't appreciate it before I'd thought that through.
Yeah.
How she is really one of the hubs of...
I think she is, and I think that's partly down to Susan being inherently a gossip, which I know she's used, you
we
know,
love
that's the way she's,
yes,
known. But I think that's what she does. I think as an individual, she makes lots of connections and puts herself in lots of different roles so that she can have all these relationships. As a woman of a certain age, be kind of pushed into the sidelines.
Yeah.
But I don't think Susan allows that to happen, which is great. You know, I think that's marvellous. But you know what I mean? A woman of,
yeah,
a certain age,
yes, yeah,
fading into the background.
Yeah.
But I don't think Susan. I think Susan will be dragged to that place, kicking and screaming, really.
Well, and the window as well in the sort of cheese yogurt make. I just think that is Susan in her element. I can just see Susan there.
Wonderful,
with
isn't
the
it?
Intercom.
I know. absolutely. I mean, she loved doing the radio show.
Yes.
You know, during COVID. I mean, she absolutely,
yes,
adored that. And I think that gave her a taste for actually the celebrity lifestyle that she probably would like to inhabit.
Yeah, I suppose she's not on TikTok or something.
She probably is secretly. That's probably her secret passion. When Neil's gone to bed, she's probably sitting there doing TikTok. She's an interesting character, and I've absolutely adored playing her. And the writers get me. You know, they get the character so well, and write not only comedy, great comedy for me, which I love doing, but also, you know, some really serious storylines,
yeah,
as well. So I'm very lucky in that. I know, you know, I see that. That
I don't think Susan has the sort of the dry filler.
No,
scenes. There's always something.
There's always something going on, even if it's not directly, yeah, about her. She's part of some thread, isn't she?
Yeah.
That links other characters. So I really appreciate that. I'm very lucky that the scenes I get to do are fantastic, and the storylines are really interesting. Everybody says, "Oh, poor Neil, he has to put up with Susan." I think it's one of the strongest marriages,
yes,
in the village, to,
yeah,
be honest, which is quite something.
Although the significance now of chili is taken on a whole nother level.
I know. God, I just don't know where that came from. I must have said it in a particular way in one episode, and then suddenly, because social media, whoa, okay.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, chili.
Last question about Susan is, we don't hear her doing any sort of hobbies, whether she does any textiles or book club. Is there anything that you think that she would be doing?
I'd love her to, and I've said this to a couple of the script writers, I'd love her to do some either exercise or belly dancing classes, or I'd love her
Zumba.
To do, yeah, I'd love her to do something like that.
Yes.
I really would. So I'm hoping that she would do something like that. But no, she hasn't, because Clary does a lot of sewing and,
yeah,
stuff. But Susan's never really...
Not her.
I think she does so much during the day.
That's
she has so
true.
Many roles that probably at night she probably just lies on the sofa and eats chocolate.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Indeed, there isn't.
Oh, Charlotte
Indeed.
Martin and Play Susan, thank you so very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure
time.
To meet you and enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you.
And finally, we talked to John Rowe, who, of course, plays the part of Jim.
John Rowe, who plays one and only Jim. Jim is beloved to us, John. Do you know how beloved Jim is?
No, absolutely. Oh, no, not at all.
I mean, he's evolved so much as a character.
Ah, yes.
When he started, he was quite cantankerous. And
well, yes, I had a rather unhelpful note when I started doing it from a director who said, now, make him as nasty as you can.
Ah.
And I thought, oh. So anyway, I staggered on with that for a bit. And then I thought, well, you can't do this. I mean, it's absolutely boring. You've got to make a rounded human being, you know, the past. And
yes.
So hopefully one has done that.
Oh, absolutely. And what I love about Jim is he has scenes with all generations. And
yes.
Jazza and Brad and Chelsea.
That's
it must
right.
be lovely to do.
Yes, it is. Scenes. It is nice. Yes, at the moment I seem to be doing quite a bit with Mia and Brad.
Is it like a family? It feels... It's. I get the
feeling. I think, yes. I think the artist has always been a bit of a family feeling to it for the actors and actresses. Yes, I think very much so, because we're all dependent on each other. Well, we're ultimately, of course, dependent on our wonderful writers.
Yes.
But yes, we do get on.
How exciting is it when the script arrives?
It's very exciting. It's very exciting because you have no idea which direction it's going to go in. Because sometimes, you have a wink, as it were, because it's relying on something that's already happened. And then suddenly you turn the page and you think, what? No, really? Good heavens.
You weren't expecting that.
No, quite.
And Jim has had quite a few of those.
Yes, there have been quite a few of those. Yes.
You've had to play all sorts of emotions as well.
Yes, that's true. That is true, and it's funny. I think, especially if you're playing an older character, Jim is officially 83 years old. I'm 82 and a half. My emotions are much nearer the surface than they were as a young man. I am very easily moved to tears by anything that is sentimental, basically. Or certain things that I see, you know, you think, oh, yeah.
And we've seen that in Jim, the warmth, the compassion that he has.
Yes, yes.
But he's also very wise and very good at the old quiz. Does that reflect you in real life, or are you not as much of a quiz maestro?
I'm not really a quiz master at all, no. In that sort of world, I just do the quick crossword in The Guardian for entertainment. We both enjoy. That's about my level. I mean, I did, because, of course, officially, I am a retired classics professor.
Yeah.
And although I did do classics to an extent at school, and then when I went to Oxford, I was actually reading English language and literature. But part of that involved straying into Virgil. So we had to do books 4 and 6 of the Aeneid, which I do my party piece now. The first few lines of the Aeneid. Ama virumque cano, Troiae, qui primus aboris Italiam farto profugus laminaque venit litora.
So, and Jim is here. So you are Jim, really.
Those are the first lines of a great poem, one of the greatest poems of Latin literature. I am a book-bound person, you know, both in buying and reading. And also lists. I'm always sort of looking at lists and saying, where is this? Where's the index? What does this mean? I was always looking things up,
yeah.
You know, because I sort of, I think I'm aware that there's always a solution. There is a solution, you know. And it's usually in literature itself.
So why doesn't Jim have his own book club then? I would love to hear him
yes.
do it with all sorts of different characters.
Yes, yes. I think it might work. I don't know. I think he might get a bit short-tempered. with people who haven't really started, you know. It's like that thing at school, you know, when you go through the different stages and the master says, well, you don't seem to have learnt anything.
Yes, there would be all of that. Well, it's just wonderful to talk to you, John, and to hear about your character, Jim. And you're about to go off and perform in front
yes,
of the crowd.
Yes, it's a nice episode. It's very well written and a joy to do, actually.
Well, I look forward to hearing it, John. Thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Well, that's it. That's the end of this special episode. Thanks for joining us. Hope you've enjoyed it. Apologies again for the background noise, but what a special day it's been. And there'll be a usual dum-de-dum this weekend with Quentin and I. So look forward to talking to you all then. But for now, it's a bye-bye from me.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.